Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ron, a man named Thomas Sapernovich has weighed in by saying, "My assertion that players be allowed to kick the puck into the net is nuts. The amount of lacerations goalies would sustain would be ridiculous." We go back to the goalie laceration theory, Ron. You buying it?
Yeah, I guess. You lift your stick up, skate up off the ice. I could see that. I mean, that is a concern. Those are weapons. Skates are absolute weapons. There's no doubt. I'm surprised guys aren't severed more.
It's just hard for me to picture a goal-mouth scrum where guys forget they have a stick and start kicking at the puck and stepping on the goalie's hand. That isn't easily done.
Well, the goalie's hand is in a glove, right?
I just don't see that as a concern.
Remember, was it Clint Malarchik that had his throat slit? He nearly died on the ice.
Yes, he did. I'm sorry, Thomas, I can't buy it. Ray Fittipaldo is on the Nemecolon fan hotline. And he was at, I think, were you at this Omar Khan news conference today, Ray, or were you watching it via Zoom or some such thing?
No, I was at the news conference, Joe. I am on my way home, ready to do some work, do a little bit of writing. But, I was talking to Matt during the break there. I thought, for a guy who's never been before a podium, I thought Omar did really, really well.
In what respect? What impressed you?
Just his command. You know, Omar has always been, you know, kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. You know, he's been their numbers guy. I mean, I think he is more well-rounded than people give him credit for. I'm writing a profile on him for the Sunday Post-Gazette. People will be able to check it out in a couple of days. But, he worked at Tulane, got in on the ground floor there. Then he got hired by the Saints. He was actually a coaching assistant for Mike McCarthy when he was the offensive coordinator there. So, Omar is he's known as the cap specialist, but I think people will find out pretty quickly that he's going to be much more than that in his new position.
So you're saying, Ray, and I know I love the way when you do your mock drafts, I always question who you have as the fourth right guard versus the fifth right guard. Are you telling me that he's going to one day be able to make those determinations? Do you see him traveling around the country like Kevin did? And, or is Andy Weidel going to do that? We can't understand the title GM versus assistant GM here.
Well, I don't think Omar is going to ever stop doing the cap stuff. I mean, that's why he's so valuable to the Steelers, but he is going to add responsibilities. And he confirmed today, he was asked the question, will you be going to pro days with Mike Tomlin like Kevin Colbert did? And the answer was yes. He's going to be on all those trips. You know, Mike and Kevin would make the Florida swing and, they hit all the big pro days. Omar is going to be doing that as well. Now, of course, they brought in Andy for a reason. He and Omar have known each other for a long time. They brought in Sheldon White for a reason. So, there are reasons they're adding personnel people, but it's not specifically to quote-unquote help Omar do his job. I think more so it's probably to help fill the shoes that Kevin Colbert filled as a personnel guy in scouting. And then, when it comes time to do it, it's going to always be a collaborative effort. But Omar as a GM will certainly have a bigger voice now in those draft decisions.
Isn't, you said he'll still be the capologist. Isn't that a full-time job?
I think he's Omar is doing this long enough, 22 years now with the Steelers, that I think he can juggle the added responsibilities. Listen, work ethic has never been an issue for him. If he has to be in that building at 7 and stay there until 7 at night, he's going to do that. His dad was an engineer growing up. He also dabbled in real estate. So, Omar said he's always kind of had that work ethic. And, when you go from, a guy who never played high school football like Omar did, when you go from that to working as a GM in, let's say, 25 years, which is basically what he did. He's only 45 years old. You have to have the work ethic, and you have to be able to juggle your time and do your job effectively. So I don't think that will be an issue as he takes on these new challenges, Ron.
So, Ray, tell me more when you say he's much more well-rounded than just a cap guy, a financial guy. I don't doubt at all his intelligence, his work ethic, both are unquestioned. But why would people have any faith in him as a football personnel guy, that him going on the road with Tomlin would be a good thing? You mentioned something about with Mike McCarthy, I think. Tell me more about why people would have faith in Omar as an astute judge of football personnel.
Well, Mike McCarthy raves about the guy, so know that first and foremost. But other people around the NFL, say the same thing. Listen, when you are the capologist, so to speak, you have to know how all of these players that you're signing the contracts, how they fit into your team building, really for, a 3 to 5 year period. So he's been in on all of these draft meetings over the years. When Art goes to owners meetings, he's always in the same room with these owners. So he is well-versed in a lot of these personnel decisions. Now, he didn't have final say like Kevin Colbert had final say, because Kevin Colbert was the GM, since the year 2000. But he's been involved in that process. And I cannot stress enough, when you are when you're the cap guy, you have to know the inner workings of the team and everything that goes on. So everything happens for a reason. He knows why. Now I just think he's going to be more in charge. He's going to have added responsibilities. Andy's going to be there to lean on. Sheldon's going to be there to lean on. Sheldon worked for Kevin Colbert. We found out today that Danny Colbert, Kevin's son, has been elevated to a senior position within the organization. So he's going to have a bigger role as well. So I think he's building his staff. We've seen these personnel moves the last couple of days. We'll find out what the titles of these guys are, but he's got plenty of guys in place that he can lean on.
I think reflexively, and I'm not saying this isn't the case at all, but I think reflexively I say, yeah, Omar Khan's been amazing with the cap over the years. Has he been? It seems from time to time they find themselves in cap hell. Is that just a reflexive thing that people say that isn't entirely accurate, or is it accurate? Has he been a wizard with the cap?
Well, I think when you work for the Steelers and your goal is to win a Super Bowl every year, you're going to be in cap hell quite often. Well, whereas other teams, if you want to tear it down and be bad for 5 years, you can do that. So he's been in a position where he has had to, get into situations where maybe things can get bad. I think I take 2020 out of it, Joe. That was a COVID year. Unexpected, the Castro thing. I mean, they got caught after the 2020 season. But, I can't really think of any terrible, terrible contract. Lamar Woodley, I think they had to cut him with 3 years left on his deal. That was a bad one. There's been one or two more, but by and large, when they sign their stars to these long-term extensions, they know what they're doing, and most of the time, these guys play those contracts out, and they continue to be good players.
Ray, what is how does Mike Tomlin fit into all this? We tend to think his power may even increase in terms of player personnel. Do you see that happening?
I could tell you there are people in that building who believe Mike's power is going to increase, but I don't know the dynamics right now of how that might play out. Listen, everyone I've talked to, I talked to Bill Cowher the other day, many other people in the last couple of days as well. The buzzwords that I'm hearing is seamless transition, because Omar's been here for 2 decades. He's worked with Mike for the past 15 years. That's not going to be an issue. And the other thing that Bill stressed to me was with the Steelers, and it doesn't matter who the coach is or who the GM is, it's always going to be a collaborative effort. So everyone's going to get together. In the end, of course, Art is going to have the final say, but the working relationships that Kevin had with Bill and that Kevin continue on with Mike, those are going to be so important for Omar too. So I think, that's part of the reason that Omar was elevated to this position. Got along with Kevin great, has a good relationship with Mike too. So I think the goal for Art during this process, when you go back and look at it, two additional Super Bowls since 2005. You kind of want to keep that same chemistry between that GM and that coach. And I think, that was the goal for Art, and I think they're trying to, rediscover that with this hiring.
Ray Fittipaldo on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Yeah, we were batting this around a lot earlier in the show, Ray, about whether the seamless transition, the smooth transition, the Steeler way, grooming a guy for a job for 20 years and then installing him, someone who's indoctrinated in all this, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I think one could probably make a case on either side. They've had a lot of success over a long period of time. But again, in the past 5 years, I think there's 5 teams with 0 playoff wins in the whole AFC. They're one of them. And then the last 11 years, they have 3 playoff wins. So is the smooth transition and the guy who's indoctrinated in the Steelers' way, are these all good things?
Well, I think when you look at the big picture, Joe, I think there's some changes too. I don't know that, I kind of had some discussions with my colleagues about, one of these finalists, could they have a different role in the organization? And I ended up being right about it. Andy Weidel is coming in from the outside. He has extensive experience with the Saints, the Ravens, and the Eagles. He won a Super Bowl each with the Ravens and the Eagles. So he's going to come in. And I'm sure over the last 25 years that he's been away from the Steelers, that he's going to bring some new ideas. And Sheldon, longtime Lions executive, most recently with the Commanders, knows Kevin Colbert very well, worked for Kevin. He's going to have his ideas. So, for me, it always goes back to these longtime Steelers ties. Sheldon White worked for Kevin Colbert. Andy Weidel worked for the Steelers many years ago and continues to have strong relationships within that building. So when you want to look towards the same old, Joe, but I think there's also an aspect here. There are going to be some changes within that personnel department. I'm not still sure what's going on with Brandon Hunt and others who are in the front office, but there are going to be some changes in that player personnel department. I think we just have to wait maybe a week or so to see how that plays out.
All right, Ray, they just finished the first week of OTAs. Anything jump out at you? Do you feel better about Tuitt coming back after what Cam had to say the other day? And how about Deontay Johnson not being there?
Yeah, Cam is not one who's going to BS you. So if he thinks that Tuitt is going to show up and play football this year, I tend to believe him. So we'll see how it plays out. I think Tuitt has to be here the middle of June for mandatory mini camp. I think he'll be there for that. And then, we'll see where it goes from there. But, I think other than the Tuitt story this week, I think everything else has kind of been overshadowed by Omar's hiring. And, I think next week and then again in mini camp, we'll get back into the the football nuts and bolts of it. But there was some news with Tua earlier this week, and I know it's been a discussion point for us over months now. And I don't want to say there's clarity, but it seems like it's going in a positive direction for the team.
How about Deontay Johnson not being there?
I don't think that's as big of a deal. There have been plenty of veterans who have skipped out on OTAs over the years. Deontay Johnson doesn't strike me as a bad apple. And I think, he might not be here for the entire offseason, but he'll be here when it matters. He'll be at mini camp. He'll be at training camp. The contract could be a distraction because I don't know if they're going to get one done, but whichever way it goes, he'll put it behind them. I think he'll be a good player for the Steelers this season, and then, we'll have to see how the rest of it unfolds, whether they stick with them or they let him become a free agent after the season.
Yeah, I guess my thought on that is if we're talking 2010 Steelers where Ben's entrenched and everybody else is pretty much too, that guys could come and go as they wanted with these voluntary workouts, Ray. But when you're the only significant player on the whole offense that doesn't show up for the OTAs, that sort of stands out to me when you have two new quarterbacks. And Claypool even talked about why it was important for him to be here. I think he might as well have been talking for Deontay, even though he said he wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, you always have to remember this is a business. And I cannot tell you how many times over the years I've seen bad injuries in the spring and guys have their careers ruined over it. Just a couple of years ago, Gerald Hawkins, I don't know if he was in his rookie year or his second year, but he tore his quad muscle in the spring and he was out, for the entire season. And he's not the only one. It happens quite a bit. So if you're more confident training on your own, if you want to do what's best for you and your family, if you think that's staying away is best, then I don't have any issues with it. If each team's really wanted these players here during this time of year, then work it into the CBA and, they'd be able to mandate that they get them there.
But you do think he'll go out there in mandatory minicamp then?
Yeah, I don't. Mandatory minicamp, he could be fined. He could lose money. I don't think he has any interest in that.
Ray, real quickly, 1 week you can't tell anything from the quarterbacks, but I'll ask you anyway. Can you tell anything from the quarterbacks?
they're going to make Kenny Pickett work for it, which is everything you would expect. He's not going to be handed anything. I think it's been reported this week he's basically, taking the third team snaps, which don't get bent out of shape about it. I'm sure that's going to change by September. But, they're giving the vets their just due. They're going to give those guys a chance to open their eyes. And, they're going to have a fair quarterback competition. But, after 1 week of OTAs, Ron, there's nothing to read into it. And I wouldn't even read anything into it next week or the following week once minicamp gets here.
There's a great photo on our website, postgazette.com, of Omar, I think, walking to the podium and Tomlin behind him. And it seems to me very symbolic of the figure right behind Omar, who may be in some ways the de facto GM. But what I want to ask you, Ray, to finish off here is, what about Kevin Colbert? It seems to me that he's, like Omar said, a phone call away. Is he still going to be an influential figure in the organization?
Well, the way Omar termed it today was fluid. So I don't know if there is an exact role right now. I don't know that that's been determined, but Kevin said when he stepped away after the draft, if the new GM wants him around, he was very much open to staying in some type of a consultant's role. So I'm not sure why that wasn't announced today, or maybe they're still working through an agreement or something like that. But I cannot imagine with them working together for the past two decades and how well they got along together that it wouldn't happen. I just don't know that they're 100% certain right now exactly what that role would be.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Raymond.
Ray Fittipaldo.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yes, they do. Ron, we have an interesting guest coming up later this hour. We have talked to a lot of people from the Joe Moore O-line camp. There's a guy named Joey from that camp who has hooked us up with people left and right. This guy's a name you might not recognize, but he is very influential with offensive linemen, high-profile ones. So whatever questions you have about that, you can ask Mr. Duke Mayweather.
Any relation to Floyd?
We'll ask him that, too. Here's guys he trained for this year's draft. Evan Neal. Think you may have heard of him. First-round pick.
Number one pick.
Trevor Penning.
Number one pick.
Some people had him going to the Steelers. I'm very curious to talk to this guy about the Steelers O-line. Has he worked with some of these guys? Kevin Dotson, Kendrick Green, and just about...
Dan Moore Jr.
Yes, O-line play in general, you know, and how important it is and how we've spent the last year never stopping our talk about the offensive line. I want to ask him about Chris Hoke's contention that this offensive line was handcuffed by the RPO system last year. Couldn't fire off the ball because they're always worried it's actually going to be a pass and going to be downfield. Stuff like that. Inside the O-line with him. But up next, let's hear a little bit from that Chase Claypool conversation. Should we,
Ron?
Yeah,
it sounded like it was pretty interesting.
Let's hear a little bit of that. Folsy has that ready to go for us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.